homegrown. Look at that. Just need a little bit more fertilizer. Huh? Should have put me in a polytunnel. Amen. Amen. But it's great to be here this morning. Isn't it? Just let me get my Bible sorted out. You're very welcome to Liberty Community Church. As I say, my name is Eddie, one of the elders here. It's an absolute privilege to come and share the Word of God. I like this pulpit. Thanks, Chris. It really suits me, you know what I mean? It makes me look taller than what I am. Any assistance would be it's much appreciated. Myself and Noel have something in common anyway. Praise God. You know what? Just to let everybody know that there's something big happening with us as well on the outreach front. On the 7th of October, we are amalgamating with the Lighthouse. Does anyone know where the Lighthouse is in Pear Street? Yeah, so there's a lot of money being invested into the Lighthouse in Pear Street. I.e. refurbishments and stuff like that, and it's you know, we are aligning ourselves with the ministry of the Lighthouse to outreach to the homeless people and to kind of people that are kind of, you know, struggling out there. And the Lighthouse is a place where people can come. It's starting on the 7th of October, which is a Tuesday, and we need volunteers to come and kind of just in some ways, just place yourself there. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you have to come with a certain set of skills, because that kind of everybody then goes, well, that's not for me. There's no certain set of skills. It's just you. Be there. Encourage people. People will come in the door, cups of tea, sandwiches. Just some might ask you your story. Someone might say to you, what are you doing here? I remember one time going down there and sharing testimony, and it was a room full of homeless guys and addicts and stuff like that, and it was just pandemonium. You know, it's a small room, but it was just pandemonium. You're trying to share your testimony, and there's people talking and people not really interested in you. But then after you share your testimony, people come and say, man, thanks for your story, thanks for giving us some encouragement, thanks for seeing that I have hope out of this, because I know that you've come over. And so there's a lot of fruit in this. There's a lot of I would say there's a challenge for people to kind of say, okay, where could I fit in there? But nonetheless, we need volunteers to come on Tuesday. If you see Derek or Sean Donahue, they will point you in the right direction if that's what you're interested in. Just seek God and ask God. It's Tuesday night. It's Tuesday, 4 o'clock until 7 p.m., I think it is. Cups of tea, giving out sandwiches to the homeless people, encouraging them, inviting them to hear. Inviting them to church and bringing hope into their lives. Is that okay? So come and see Sean and Derek, and they'll point you in the right direction. Amen? So, if you turn with me to your Bibles, Matthew 11, and we're going to keep on with the series of The Sound of Heaven. We've been doing this series now for a while, and it's part of understanding what God is saying to us in this day and age. Is it relevant? Does it mean anything? Does it? What's it saying to me? What's it saying in this generation? And I have been really challenged with this. This is, you know, putting something together on a team can be very, very difficult, because you're watching Noel and you're watching Louise and you're watching people and you're going, man, I would have done that. Man, that was mine. You robbed that from me. And I had that. And then all of a sudden you're back to square one with nothing. And it's a real kind of, you have to search God on this, and you have to kind of ask God, God, what have we got to say to the church about the sound of heaven? And God put this on my heart, an expression of understanding the heartbeat of God and the love that God has towards us. And a lot of us kind of get mixed up with that, and a lot of us get confused with that, and a lot of us bring that into a place where it can almost dull the sound of heaven, where we can't hear anything other than a kind of a negative position. So if you turn with me, we're at chapter 11, and it goes like this. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison, so put your marker under heard there. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, and should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear." Underline that. "And see, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one to whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of a woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law of the prophets unto John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has an ear, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to each other, 'We played the flute and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and a sinner.' But wisdom is proved right by your actions." And there's loads of stuff there to digest, loads of stuff to take on board, and there's loads of deep teachings in that. But what I want to bring out this morning is about the sound of heaven and about what God is showing us about his character and about who he is. And the sound of heaven is like this, guys. And sometimes we get confused, but the sound of heaven is what you see God doing round about you. It's the change you see in people's lives. It's what is happening in this church. It's what's happening out on the streets. It's what's happening in the lighthouse. It's what's happening to you and where you have come from in your personal life. It's what happens when you come through a dark time and you get to the other side. That's the sound of heaven. That's what God is saying. It's this church. Guys, if I could bring us back, I don't know, sorry, along with you, if you could bring us back 10 years maybe. I don't know, not only years, but brutal years. But if you can bring us back 10 years, along, Jimmy and Carolyn, how long does it go since we were up in St. Andrews? Is it about 12 years? So bring us back 12 years. This church consisted of a group of 12 people sitting in a flat in Dolphin House. And God had a vision. And God sent his sound out. He said, "This is what I'm going to do with you guys. I'm going to grow you into a church, a body of people that are going to take the city." That's the sound of heaven. That's what God is doing in the midst right now where you're sitting. I'm trying to get people to wake up. I'm trying to get people to be excited. But if you could understand the context of what I'm just saying, all of us squeezed into a flat and don't know what we're doing. And just hoping and praying to God, and that our worship team consisted of a guy with a tambourine and another fellow with a guitar that was out of tune, and he could only play 3 chords and 1 song. Has that changed? Only messing. But that's what our worship team was. Our preacher was a young man who was trying to take his community and lived in the middle of his community, where he was kind of lashed over every minute, laughed at, belittled, joked about, and he kind of had to park aside the adults and go to the kids and start a Friday club and kids clubs and all that kind of stuff. And I see the fruit of that, because there's 3 of those young kids that were at the time, because I remember them when you were 5 and 6 and 7 or 8 in my life at the moment, on fire for God. But he had a rough road.
But every one of them mentioned Noel Kenny. I remember Noel Kenny. I remember him coming in and taking us out to our community and giving us a bit of life and a bit of sound of heaven. And guys, that's what the sound of heaven is. It's what God is doing now in your midst. If you have an ear, can you hear? The miracles that are in front of you. The sound of heaven is me preaching. Who would have thought that I would get up here and preach? Sound of heaven is Jay and Adele. Sound of heaven is Jason and me. The sound of heaven is what God is doing in people's lives in front of you, which cannot be denied. And you have to make a call on it. And that's what God is, this is what this horse is about. Because John the Baptist's people came to him and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." If you know your scriptures, when he seen Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he recognized who Jesus was, the Christ. And John the Baptist was persecuted and he was put into prison because he brought the law of God to the king, and the king didn't like it because the king was in a sinful relationship with his brother's wife, and he exposed it. John the Baptist exposed it. He ended up in prison over it. And Jesus was still carrying out his ministry. And John the Baptist was sitting in a place, and he knew he was going to die, so he's looking at his disciples, and he says, "Well, you go to Jesus and find out." Some people think it was John the Baptist that was our fault here, but I believe it was John the Baptist saying to his disciples, "You go and find out, because I'm going to my death. You go and find out." And the disciples go and say, "Are you the one that we were expecting? Are you the Christ?" And Jesus says to him, he says, "Look," he says, "what do you hear? And what do you see? The blind are getting their sight back. The dead are raised to life. The lepers are cured from their diseases." Will I go on? He says, "What do you see? Look around you. Look what I'm doing." Because all that list that he puts there is what Isaiah prophesied about. When the Christ comes, this is what's going to happen. He quoted Isaiah there. This is what's going to happen when the Christ comes. So yeah, I am the Christ. You get another man and get him to do the things I'm doing. It's not going to happen. You get me. And you bring the world's philosophy into my life, nothing would happen for me. But when Christ came into my life, I changed. Or do you believe it was just me? And I come to me at the end of this and say, it was all about you, Eddie. I dare you to. I absolutely dare you to. And I'll try and explain to you what, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'll try and explain to you what a heroin addiction is like. And then you come back, to me and say, was it about me? It was Christ who changed me. I don't know about your testimonies. No, we want to stand up and say that. But it was Christ who changed me. Not man. It was Christ who changed me. And when I came into contact with Christ, the dead rose to life. And the leper was cured. And the blind was opened. The eyes were opened. And I could see for the first time that the reality of Jesus Christ is, he is the Messiah. There's no one like him. He's real. He's living. He's alive. How do you know that? I'm standing in front of you. I'm sure we can get loads of testimonies that will stand up in front of you and say, "Well, without Christ, I couldn't be here." Or is it all a game? Because that's where we're going with this. And he went around and he said, Jesus says to them, he says, "Okay," he says, let's park it off. But he says, "What did you go out to see when you seen John the Baptist? What did you go out to see?" And I would say that to you, I'll say that to everybody in this church, and I would say that to people, anybody. When you come in through that door, what do you come in to see? Why do you get up at, I don't know, I'm talking myself here, why do you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning, get your hair done, get the blow dryer out, get all dolled up, and all the ladies look beautiful, and all the men look terrific. And you come to church on a Sunday morning. And you bring your kids with you, in some cases, which is a hard job. And you come in and you faithfully come in every morning. Why? what did you come in to see? What gospel are you looking at? And he talks about John the Baptist. He says, did you come in to see a reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go in to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who are dressed in fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? He said, you went out to see a prophet. And that prophet was talking about me. That's what Jesus was saying. Nothing else. He was talking about me. And he was preparing the way for me to come into this world and to bring my testimony and to bring my power and to bring my anointing. And Jesus said, there was not a man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because he seen the Christ. And he prepared a way for Jesus Christ. This is fundamental, guys. If you don't get this, I don't know what you're getting. Jesus is here. Everything points to him. Everything points to him. He is where it's at. He is the most important news you could ever hear in this world. There is nothing, there's no other game in town. Because people went out to see John the Baptist and he wanted to see this great prophet and he wanted to see this man and he wanted to see this great Elijah. He wanted to see, man, what is God doing? It was 400 years time you heard anything in the world. And he went out to see this guy. But all he talked about was Jesus. And then when you come into a church, all you hear about, or all you should hear about, is Jesus. The only testimony that you should hear about is the Lord. But some people come in and they don't want to hear that. You have the whole difference, hold on for a minute. I want to see the worship team. Dressed in fine clothes. I want to see the appearance. I want to be entertained. I want to be pandered to. I want to see great preaching. I want to be entertained by great preaching. And so on and so forth. But the reality is, it's all a load of nonsense. What we come to see is Jesus. It's the love of God. It's the blessing of God. It's the grace of God. It's the healing of God. It's the breakthrough of God. That's what we've come to see. That's what we come through them doors to see, Jesus. And nothing else. Because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters in this world. If you have another agenda, it's wrong agenda. He says to them, what did you go out to see? Who did you go out to see? I tell you, you went out to see a prophet who was talking about me. That's all you went out to see. That's all who John the Baptist was. Leading the way for me. That's what this building is all about. That's what this church is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about what he brings. There's nothing else in life, guys. I'm telling you, I remember God gave me a revelation years ago, or spoke to me one day years ago, and it was one of the weekends where I think you two were playing in Croke Park. Liverpool were playing in maybe the FA Cup final or something like that. I'm man into Liverpool. There was something big going on the telly. There was something this going on. This whole weekend was packed full of entertainment. Gian was packed with, you have to watch that and you have to watch that. And did you get to see that? And then I remember being in church on Sunday morning and Jesus just dropped it into my heart. This is where it's at. This is the most important news you could ever hear. And there was people scrambling for tickets for this and paying £1,000 for tickets for that. And they're trying to get money for this and trying to get money for that. People that were doing this and doing that. And I was sitting in church listening to the Lord. And all Jesus was saying to me was, this is bad. There's no other game in town. There's no other show in town. There's nothing more important in life than this. Whoa. And you know what Jesus says about this? He turned around and he said, because this is the human condition, guys. This is the human condition. I was up at my job there today and working with a lot of people in addiction. I put on a video. But this is the human condition. This is the human condition. This is where sin has robbed us. This is where our nature, sinful nature, has robbed us of seeing this stuff. And I put on a video. And I had all these men, I had 24, maybe 30 men watching this video. And in the video, it was the Father of Lights video. And in the video, there was miracles happening. And there was testimonies. Testimony about these two couple, and they went over and started an orphanage over in China. Sold everything they had and started an amazing orphanage over in China. There was a man going into villages in India and setting people free, and there's another guy healing people. There's all this going on. There's this gangster, this big one of the biggest gangsters in America, getting saved right there and then, in front of the camera, getting saved and set free, and the Holy Spirit filling them. Amazing miracles. And you know, I was looking around the room, scanning around the room. You know what I could see? There's one lad asleep, there's two lads talking, there's lads looking at a watch, wanting to go to bed. Boom, 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 boom. I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. The greatest message that could ever be preached was in front of them, and all they could do, half of them, all they could do was want to get out of it. And Jesus says, what is this generation like? He said, what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other. We played a flute, and he didn't dance. He played a dirge, which means a sad song, and he didn't cry. He said, John the Baptist came with nothing. And he said he had a demon. You said that Jesus came eating and drinking, and he said he was drunk. He said, but wisdom is known by his children. And it's like this in my own situation anyway. I remember coming to church, and I remember standing there. And I'm coming from kind of a Catholic kind of background, and I'm sitting there and going, I'm in a Christian outreach, trying to outreach for me on this rehab program, which is a Christian faith-based program, and they're preaching the gospel to me. And I've come in and I've already rejected God. I've already rejected God because of my Catholic background. What's church going to do with me? Going to them churches. I'm in the churches, all you're going, what's that going to do with me? Reading Bibles? What's the Bible? The first time a Bible was opened to me, I said, that's irrelevant. That doesn't mean nothing. I've already rejected God on the terms of this kind of staunch, kind of cold, empty view of God. And then it's like this. It says, you rejected God on them terms. And then all of a sudden, I hear the gospel. I hear the truth. I hear that Jesus loves me and he sets me free and all my sin is forgiven. And you hear the abundance. We hear the abundance of God, what God is doing for us, what God wants to do for us, what God has said to us, and that we're free and set free and all our sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. And we hear the other side of the gospel and still really reject it. So you're rejecting it on John the Baptist living out in the wilderness, wearing camel skin, eating locusts, the bare minimum, the law, and you reject that. And then when Jesus comes, he says, I give you life and life and hope and truth, and where the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And all you have to do is trust in me, cast your burden. You still reject that. You still yawn at that and kind of scratch your head and thinking, I can't wait to get out of here. And that's what Jesus was saying. He says that the human condition is that we reject things. There's nothing there for you. What more can be offered? What more can be preached? But I love this because he says in the end, but wisdom is known by her children. And the wise thing to do is to accept Jesus. Is to accept what he says, his sound. That he loves you. That he sets you free. You know what Jesus says? He said, blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me. And some people, and the human condition is that, and me included, we've went into churches, we've looked at God, and we said, is that it? And this generation, guys, is no different than any other generation. We live in an entertainment generation, don't we? We live in things that are right on our fingertips, don't we? You guys can go out of here, we said this before, and you can get on our website and you have access to a much better preacher than me. You guys can get out of here and you can have access to a much better worship team than us. Everybody has access to whatever you want. whatever you need. And we live in a culture where nothing satisfies. Where it's, well, daddy, that all you guys got. And the message is thrown out. Because it's looked at in comparison to what other people are doing. And it's thrown out. Even to the point where people will give money to ministries that are nowhere near where they live. Someone might give an appeal on a television. Say, give us 50 quid a month. 50 quid a month? It looks like you are doing great work. So when you go to your own church, you ask for something. Like, what would we give one to you for? Everything we see is about the sound of heaven. The sound of heaven is what's happening in your life now. It's what's happening in our life now. It's what God is doing in our life now. And wisdom is found by those who choose the Lord. If you choose the Lord, you will see it. If you choose Jesus, you will see the blessing flowing in your life. You will see the abundance. You will see the grace. You will see the understanding that God has set us free. That it is the abundance of what God is doing in life. Amen? let's turn to verse 11 there. It says, Jesus says, among those born of a woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who was least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So let's look at the wisdom. So, he says that John the Baptist is the greatest man ever born of a woman. Why? Because he was the final prophet. He was the doorway from the law into grace. He brought the law, he finished the law, and Jesus brought the grace dispensation. He brought the new way, the new covenant, the new way that God where that God deals with us. So John, yeah, was the greatest man ever born of a woman. But those who were in Christ, those who are born again, and those who have Christ come and fill us with his Spirit. Jesus says, the least of those in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. That's how powerful it is. That's how what it means. That's the sound of heaven in us. That I am greater than Elijah. I am greater than Moses. I am greater than the prophets. Why? Because Jesus dwells within me. None of them had that. None of them could experience that. I experience God dwelling within me. When I wake up tomorrow morning, God is in me. He is with me. He has forgiven me. All my sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. Everything is dealt with. My spirit is sealed up by the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't get any better. That spirit is going to be with the Lord. I am saved and set free. I don't know condemnation for me. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I have such a hope in me that I can have access to God at any moment. Even when I'm down on my back, the curtain is torn in two for me. I have access. None of the prophets had that. All they had was the law. I have grace. If I'm the least in the kingdom of heaven, I'm greater than John. What a hope we have. Surely that would wake you up. Surely that would get you excited. Surely that's a tune you listen to. Surely that's something that if you play the flute, you'll dance to that. And you will accept that. And you will live in that because wisdom is found by our children. No more do we have the luxury of trying to listen to what sound we think we can hear and what we take on board. But are you listening to that sound or you're not listening to any sound? It's amazing what people will dance to in this day and age. Isn't it? It's amazing what people will walk out of here and all of us, and we're all included in this, and what sound we're listening to. Man, that was a great message this morning, but let's see what this guy is saying. Let's see what that group of people are saying. Let's see what this sin is saying. Let's see what titillates me and what gets me going, what inspires me in the flesh. And we start dancing to these mad tunes that are nothing to do with God. Let's see what anger and let's see what unforgiveness. I'll dance to that tune. I won't forgive. I'll stay bitter. I'll dance to that tune because I like that tune. I'll hate people. I won't let go. I'll hang on to things in my life. I'll dance to that tune. But I won't dance to your tune, Lord. I won't dance to your sound. I won't listen to what you have for me. And he says they're like children going back and forward in the playground. What are you listening to? What are you listening to? What are you listening to? Dance, he won't sigh, he won't be sad. What are you all listening to? And that's what we're like in this generation at times. It's extremely, extremely, this is a massive challenge for me. That I stay dancing to the tune that Lord has for me. That's a massive challenge for me. That whatever happens in life, he is the one. He's the most important. He is where it's at. He is what excites me. He is what gets me going. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ. He is everything. There's no other show and tell. He is it. If there's anything in the world that can beat that, believe me, you, I've tried it. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't satisfy. There's only one story in town, and that's the good news. It's the good news. If you're yawning at that, if you're falling asleep at that, if that doesn't get you going, and by the time you get to the end of that stage, you forget all about it. And I don't know what's to be preached to you. I really don't. It took 12 men to change the world. 12 men. It's the 100 people in this room. I am challenged to the backbone with this stuff. How am I seeing Jesus? What sound are you hearing? What noise are you hearing? What song are you dancing to? There's a challenge there. What song are you dancing to? What tune are you playing? Are you hearing? Is it the Lord or is it something else? If it is the Lord, wisdom is found by her children. That is the wisest thing to do. Is to accept Jesus Christ, to give your life to him, and to get excited about him, and to get intrigued by him and enthralled by him. I gave my life to the Lord in 95. I don't know how many years ago that is, but I tell you, it's brand new to me this morning. It's brand new. It doesn't get old. Actually, it gets more new. That's impossible. That's possible. But I have to keep on dancing to that tune. I have to keep on pressing into the Lord. Because it says that the kingdom of heaven is being forcefully advanced and forceful men lay hold of it. You have to lay hold of this. You can't let it go. You have to be forceful with this. You have to grab it and not let go. We have to keep it and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to keep on hanging on to you. And sometimes hanging on by my fingernails. But I know that you will get me through. I will be forceful with this. And I will lay hold of what God has for me in this generation. Amen. I'll finish with this. The word good news, gospel, okay? That's what the word means, gospel, good news. Good news. I'm as guilty as this as anybody. But at times I've turned it into the bad news. I've turned this song, this sound of heaven, into the bad news. Where I've been to churches and I've riddled with guilt, riddled with not good enough, riddled with shame, riddled with how can I be anything like that, looking at people in the Lord and being covetous about them and being angry at them, and why can't I have them, why can't I have that, and what saved me has become now what's strangling me. I have done that. I've been full of condemnation and condemning others. I've been judgmental on others. I've come into a place where I'm not good enough. Come into a negative place, and we turn the good news into the bad news. It started off great guns, but now as we get into it, this is the bad news. And every time you walk into a church like this, we're just riddled with guilt, riddled with shame, riddled with not good enough, riddled with can't get there, riddled with this is not for me. This I heard this once and it was great and exciting, but not anymore. That's the bad news. But the good news is that we are free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free from our sin. But you don't know, Eddie, what I got up to last night. No, I don't know. But I can guarantee you're forgiven. But you don't know my struggles with the flesh. No, I don't know. I know my own struggles with the flesh, but I know I'm forgiven. But you don't know how I'm not living up to the Christian walk. No, I don't know. Neither am I at times. But God can. God has forgiven you. We are forgiven. Past, present, and future. Sins that I haven't committed are forgiven. How can there be no condemnation if you live in a place where I'm not forgiven? Then there is condemnation. Then it is bad news. Because we have to live from moment to moment in perfection. And that's not, I can't do that. He's the perfect one. I trust in him. I'm covered by his blood, not my own works. Lest any man boast. So my challenge is not to be a good Christian. There's no such thing as a good Christian. If you're a good Christian, you're in law and you're in the flesh. There's no such thing as a good Christian. I'm a good Christian. Well, you're in law and you're in the works and you're in flesh stuff. And that got to turn into bad news really quickly. I'm a Christian saved and set free by Jesus Christ. And my spirit is made perfect according to Galatians 6. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to be anything. I am made perfect. I come from an imperishable seed. It doesn't degrade. It does not degrade. We bring the condemnation in. Yeah, okay. I said to a fellow there last week, he started talking about becoming a good Christian. He said, yeah, well, now I'm on fire for the Lord and all that kind of stuff. I'm giving up cigarettes. I'm giving up drink. I'm giving up drugs. I'm giving up wild living. Because I'm a Christian. I said, pal, you're in serious trouble. You're in serious trouble. If you're doing that because you're a Christian and on fire for the Lord and everything's fine, but what when you're not on fire for the Lord? What when you're not flying for the Lord? Are you going to start doing all that stuff again? No. I am born again and saved, set free now. Now. Not because I don't do this, that, and the other. I am saved and set free now. Forever. Not because I'm perfect and do all this and do all that. You know why I don't smoke? Because it costs €12 for 20 cigarettes and I'm a skinflint. You know why I don't take drugs? Because they destroy me. Not because I'm a Christian. They destroy me. They ruin my life. You know why I try to be polite and try to help people and try to love people? Because it's a very positive thing to do. Because I'm a Christian. I have a certain lifestyle because it's what I like to do. It's positive. It's good. Not because I'm a Christian. And so on and so forth. Are you understanding that, guys? The good news is we are saved and set free. We walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. We walk out our life with God. And what we're doing and what we're not doing. And we come to a conclusion in our minds. Why I shouldn't do this. And why I shouldn't do that. And why I shouldn't do that. And we ask God to give us the strength to accomplish these things. But we don't tie them to our relationship with God. If you do that, you're in serious trouble. Do you hear me this morning? Is that the good news? Have I just preached the good news? Have I just played the flute? Are you going to dance to that song? Or are you going to come back next week and go, I'm not good enough. And I need to get born again. And I need to get saved all over again. And I need to get on my knees again and ask God to forgive me. You don't realize you're already forgiven. And I need to ask God to bless me. You don't realize you're already blessed. And I need to get God to get this stuff out of my life. Get this stuff out of your life because it's destroying your life, not because of God. He will give you the strength to get it out of your life. I think that takes all the pressure off me. And it brings a common sense attitude to life. These are the things that I don't do because of. And we get that out of our lives. I'll be a better Christian if I don't do that. What does that mean? That's not the sound of heaven. That's the sound of bad news. But it's the good news, amen? Let's stand. Let's stand. The worship team want to come back. God is good, amen? God is good. We are saved and we are set free. God told me this morning, he says, go in, Eddie, preach the good news. That's what he said to me this morning. He said, Lord, what am I bringing to this church? He said, bring the good news. Bring the good news that Jesus loves us, that he has set us free, that he is the Messiah, that there's no more searching, that there's no more quest, that you have the answer. John the Baptist, people went there and says, are you the one? And Jesus says, I am the one. And we say, are you the one? And we say, Jesus, you are the one. You are all I need. You are the greatest news that there ever was. The Bible said that this is the news that turned the whole world upside down. The good news that I am saved and set free. Does that excite you this morning? Does that get you going? Will that carry you into next week? Will it carry you forever? I'm still buzzing on it since 1995. Still buzzing on it. I said to a guy one time, he's bringing this stuff to me, he says, are you serious? Because all I knew was a God that was firing lightning bolts down at me every 5 minutes. And I said to him, are you serious that God loves me? Because all I knew was law and guilt, shame, and go and light a candle and go and get repentance. And go. All I knew was this hopelessness. And the man says to me, he says, it's like a free gift. I said, well, did you refuse a free gift? No, I never refused a free gift in my life. But then it's free. What do I have to give back? Nothing. So I said to him, what do you give back? Nothing. Because if you're giving something back, it's all about you. So it's just free. Yeah. And is that the good news? Yeah. It was God on the cross, not some man. It's enough. You don't need to add to it. If you're adding to it, you're wrong. And it will become bad news very quickly. All I need to do is receive. I receive. Yes, in my mess. Here's a phrase. Someone write that down. Jesus says, yes, in your mess. Get that on the tape. That was mine. Jesus says, that's not Noel Kenny's. No, I was not robbing that one. That's in a title of a book. Title, Eddie Gregory, yes, in his mess, your mess. Yes, in your mess. Yes, in your mess. He's still there. Whoa. Are you serious? Yeah. Oh, I thought I had to go to the church and crawl up and down on my knees for 20 minutes. Are you serious? No, you don't. No, you don't. I thought God wouldn't have anything to do with me now. No, he always wants something to do with you. Never leave you. Not forsake you. Amen. Human nature won't dance. Human nature won't listen. Human nature won't. That's what Jesus says. But he says, blessed are those who are found in their wisdom. It's a wise thing to do. Is to accept Jesus. Just accept him. Just accept that strong anointing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me belief. I can go in and take my family. I can stand up and have my dignity back. Yeah, I was that, but not anymore. For behold, all things are new. I will stand and I will be a man in my community. Be a man in my family. I will be filled with the Spirit. Not because of my works, but because of his grace. And I will have my being in God. Every day. Yes, in my mess. He is still there. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in me. Well, Eddie, he dwells in me when I'm doing well. No, he dwells in me always. He dwells in me when I'm on fire. No, he dwells with you when you're in your mess. He's in you. If he isn't in you, it's condemnation. But what does the Bible say? There is no condemnation. For those who are where? In Christ Jesus. If I was writing that and I was writing it on human nature, I would write, there is no condemnation for those who are doing well. That's why I write it. For those who don't do this, who don't do that, and don't do this, there's no condemnation for those. But it doesn't say that. It says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys, come on up for prayer. Come on up if you want to get filled with this. Come on up for prayer if you want to be refreshed in this. Come on up for prayer if you want to hear the sound of heaven. Come on up for prayer if you just want a prayer. Come on up for prayer if you just want to be blessed and let God bless you. Come on up and we'll say we're no longer Sunday Christians, but we're all day Christians, everyday Christians, born again, set apart, and alive in God. Come on up for prayer. Let us all lay hands on each other and be a church that comes together and loves each other and supports each other and lifts each other up. Come on up for prayer and be a community. Let's not be separate, but let's be together in our hurts and in our pain and our shame, because we know Jesus has took it all. That's what makes us all equal. No one's better than anybody. No one's better than anybody, because he took it all of mine and all of yours. Who am I to judge anybody? Hallelujah. So come on up for prayer, guys. Anything, come on up for prayer. Amen.